I have been in a sauna a couple times. I'm not sure it's for me, but the practice of sitting in the steam, then plunging into cold water and repeating, is gaining popularity here in northern Michigan. A new festival is hoping to bring enthusiasts together and also, maybe, convince some skeptics. We'll hear more this week on the Up North Lowdown from Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Ed Ronco. We'll also spend a moment with a teacher from Northern Michigan who received one of his profession's top national honors recently. But we are beginning, in one way or another, at the end. Death Club is this group of people in Traverse City who, as the name suggests, gather to talk about a topic most of us tend to avoid. IPR contributor Maxwell Howard takes us to one of their meetings.
Today's meeting is in the back room of a pub and is smaller than normal, just a half dozen people.
I think you have to be like okay with the mysterious. Like you have to be okay with not having all the answers. You have to be okay moving into this space of unknown.
That's the club's founder, Jamie Kramer.
And like, honestly, from a spiritual perspective, like that's the whole thing, is like not knowing, relinquishing, holding on to something, and like just exist purely in the free fall.
Part of the reason the group exists is because Jamie recently started a memorial and grief counseling business called Earthly After. While it's getting started, Jamie wants to meet people where they're at. Some people come here as a less expensive version of therapy, a kind of support group for just the price of a beer. Others are searching for community, and Jamie hopes that this is what this will become, a community for others to share their fears and grief openly. With death being such a taboo subject, these feelings, sometimes fear, have nowhere to go and can pop up in some of the most unexpected moments. This is Jamie again, talking about one of those moments when she was reading a bedtime story to her son.
I remember reading Keegan a story one night and then I just bawling my eyes out afterwards because I was just like, this is all for nothing. Yeah. I mean, that's hard. That's a hard pill to swallow.
It is a hard pill to swallow. And I don't feel like that. I don't feel like it's not all for nothing. It's all for right now, because right now is all we have.
Sean Case, the person Jamie was just talking to, has been attending Death Club since their first meeting.
It's really cathartic, I guess. I don't know. Because I have all these thoughts all day, you know, all the time, like in the back of my head. But nothing means anything. Like, we're just here for a brief moment, and then it's over, period.
Sean thinks about death a lot lately, his father having died of COVID a few years ago in prison. And in today's meeting, Sean is anticipating another loss.
With Jean, my mom's partner, she got the diagnosis. She has breast cancer. And she's 89. And she's a healthy 89, you know. She does yoga. She eats really well. But she's just like disappearing from all these people's lives in advance of her death.
Sean understands the pulling away. Jean knows who's a priority in her life and is backing away from anyone who isn't that priority. And for Sean, thinking about this, about death, brings up all kinds of tangled feelings.
I've been thinking a lot about feeling kind of disposable lately. But like these days, it feels like it's so easy to be forgotten and cast aside, and it feels like a death. Like you don't exist in that person's life anymore.
Jamie and the rest of the club don't pretend to have the answers to the big questions, like whether our existence serves a purpose or is just random. That's not really the point. Sean didn't come to the meeting to talk about his beliefs, but there is a weight he feels in thinking life is meaningless.
But death? Actual death? I don't know. I don't think there is a purpose there. I think it doesn't matter. You're just shutting down. You're an old car on your way to the junkyard. Like, what happens doesn't really matter. I feel like such a nihilist saying that.
But the club, which is becoming an actual community like Jamie hoped, was helping Sean with that feeling. At the first meeting, Sean brought a mason jar holding his late father's ashes, and they passed it around. Sean says he didn't have a good relationship with his father, and says he didn't even want his ashes at first.
I was prepared, and she brought me some of my dad's ashes in a mason jar. And she thought I would just like to have them. and I didn't want them, but I took them to make her feel better.
Sean thought about throwing them away again and again, but something stopped him.
I don't know why I keep them. I'm not a sentimental person.
Can I make an observation?
Yeah.
You just said that you don't consider yourself a sentimental person. You've had two things that have come up that would prove otherwise.
But Jamie doesn't believe this. Sean isn't cold or nihilistic. Sometimes you just have to talk about the thing more openly, and things become more clear.
The disposable aspect of feeling connected to people versus, like, leaving and allowing them to let go, that would say there's some sentiment there. And then also with the ashes on the, like, maybe you haven't examined that aspect of you.
He only kept them to spare his sister's feelings, Sean said.
I mean, but they're still there.
Yeah, they are. They're there.
Like, the proof is in the pudding.
You're right.
I know.
I'm just saying.
You want to be this cold, heartless guy, but it's not into you.
I'm just saying.
And this is the thing that's special about Death Club. It's a community where you don't have to shy away from the big questions, where you can talk about how you broke down during your son's bedtime, or how you're afraid of being forgotten. Community can be an abstract word, so let me just say it this way. It's hard not finding friends when you're being this vulnerable. For IPR News, I'm Maxwell Howard.
Here comes a quick break. When we return, sauna culture in northern Michigan. It's growing in our neck of the woods. Also, top honors for a local teacher. More Lowdown after this.
IPR wants to hear your stories about how America's immigration system relates to your life here in northern Michigan. How have you been affected, for better or for worse? Are you navigating the system right now? Will changes in policy impact your business or your everyday life? Leave us an audio message or write to us. Share your story and help us shape our coverage. Go to interlochenpublicradio.org/immigration. That's interlochenpublicradio.org/immigration.
Kathleen Knight walks through forests to look for rare ash trees which resist the emerald ash borer. But she can't do her work alone.
We need other people out there keeping an eye open, looking for healthy ash trees, because there's not enough of us to survey every forest.
Hi, I'm Dan Wanchura, host of Points North. Here at Interlochen Public Radio, we can't do our work by ourselves either. We depend on you to support this community-minded public service at iprnews.org.
Welcome back to the Up North Lowdown. I'm Ed Ronco. Sauna Fest hits Clinch Park in Traverse City on February 28th. Organizers hope to bring people together for 3 days of steams and cold plunges as Northern Michiganders rediscover an ancient practice. IPR's Tyler Thompson takes us to the waterfront in Traverse City.
I think a sled would come in handy on days like this.
Mm-hmm. Vlad Borza is hauling sauna equipment through a half foot of snow to the edge of the marina in Clinch Park. He owns Sleeping Bear Sauna, which is designed to travel to different locations. As he sets up here, a gang of seagulls is squabbling nearby, and the wood-burning stove is clanging as he feeds it some scraps of birch.
Luckily, the local mills usually have some nice scraps to work with, so
nice.
Trying to use up with what's free and easily accessible.
His sauna is a collapsible structure that expands into what he calls a glorified ice fishing tent, with flexible walls made out of synthetic fiber. Inside, he can fit 5 or 6 people on cedar benches. The chimney is sticking out of the top, the fire is getting going, and within about 15 minutes, Borza will close the door and get the temperature in here to about 150 to 180 degrees.
And maybe even start to break the ice and get in there in a little bit.
The ice on the lake, he means. Using a sauna is not only sitting in a hot room for a while, but getting into some cold water. That cycle, hot, cold, is a key part of the experience. We did not cold plunge today, but plenty will be right here for Sauna Fest. Borza says there will be 10 different saunas at the event from here in northern Michigan to across the state.
Folks are coming in from the Thumb. I got a guy from Port Austin that's looking to make the drive, and he's putting a piano in his sauna. He's a musician as well. So he wants to do a short set with a mini piano that he just found, and it fits in his change room, and I'm like, all the better for it. Yeah. Everybody can bring their talents.
Borza is organizing the event with Nick Olson, owner of Hearth Sauna. They both saw a booming sauna culture in northern Michigan and wanted to celebrate that with the community. And that's what Borza loves about it. Sauna brings people together. His joy for steam started with trips to the Upper Peninsula with his friends. He says Michigan is one of the early players in sauna culture in the U.S.
A lot of the early settlers in the UP brought the culture with them. And it's been slow to migrate south of the, south of the Troll Bridge.
But it has caught on here. A quick Google search reveals plenty of options in the Traverse City area alone. Before Borza came to northern Michigan, he lived in Grand Rapids. He taught ecology in public schools.
Just found an opportunity that allowed me to take a year off from teaching and come up here. And yeah, then COVID hit that year, and it was hard to go back to that world and leave this, especially. Right. Yeah, it's been a couple years of settling in here. I still don't know if I would consider myself a local or a resident, but that's fine.
Now he describes his day job as cutting wood for the sauna, but he didn't always have a business. It was his personal love for sauna that he brought with him, which then caught the eye of people in the area.
It's a passion project, not a business for me at this stage, and it'd be nice to grow with it, but I enjoy hanging out and doing this either way. If there's others that enjoy it, let's do it together. And then if it grows to something beyond that, and we can foster a whole regional community around it, all the better.
That goal of growing a community could start with SaunaFest. Borza hopes it's the first of many to come.
That story from IPR's Tyler Thompson. SaunaFest starts on February 28th and runs through that weekend. The park will be open to all so anyone can hang out. Tickets for activities are available online at michigansaunafest.com. A middle school teacher from East Jordan is the recipient of a big national award. Matt Hamilton has taught social studies and video production in East Jordan for 23 years. Earlier this month, he was given the Award for Teaching Excellence from the National Education Association, the nation's largest teachers union. In 2008, Hamilton started something called the East Jordan Shoe Club. IPR's Michael Livingston explained it in a story last summer.
Mr. Hamilton and a few of his students are showing me around the shoe museum.
But I put a dryer sheet in each shoe to kind of help with the smell a little bit.
I just found it weird how it's never really stank in here.
There are lots of famous athletes and celebrities, but also historical figures, inventors, and activists. Right below Jane Goodall's brown slip-ons are Shaquille O'Neal's bright yellow size 22s. There's Charlie Duke, the 10th man to walk on the moon, Barbara Henry, the former teacher of Ruby Bridges.
On this wall over here, we have Aiden Hutchinson from the Detroit Lions, and the red, really small, cute high heels belong to Dolly Parton, then Barbara Streisand and Oprah Winfrey.
In total, Hamilton has collected nearly 200 star-powered shoes.
In his acceptance speech in Washington, D.C. earlier this month, Hamilton encouraged his fellow teachers to dream big with their students.
For the Shoe Club and in my class in general, it's dreaming big, setting goals, working hard, and then giving back and making the world a better place. And of course, it's the most successful people value themselves, and then they value other people.
There was one other bit of that Shoe Club story we heard last summer that we want to leave you with. It's the part of the story that really sticks with me, to be honest. Listen to this.
Oh, and one more thing you gotta do to get in the shoe club. Donate a pair of your own. All these student shoes sit on shelves on the opposite side of the classroom from all that famous footwear. But these are the ones Hamilton values above all the others.
I find it interesting that the student shoes have the Hall of Fame marker, not the famous people's shoes.
Exactly. Like these, these guys are my heroes. My kids, my students. Some people call them future leaders, and they are not future leaders. They are current leaders. These guys are incredible.
Matt Hamilton was awarded $25,000 for his teaching. His Shoe Club students have been working on a podcast, by the way, with help from our own Michael Livingston. It is called If Shoes Could Talk, and episodes are available right now through the app where you might be listening to us. Congratulations, Mr. Hamilton. That's it for The Lowdown. Stories this week came from Tyler Thompson, Maxwell Howard, and Michael Livingston. Music is by Blue Dot Sessions. Max Copeland produces The Lowdown. I'm Ed Ronco. We make this podcast at Interlochen Public Radio. It has been cold here lately. Snowy, sure, but also really cold. So let's leave you with some of that sound from the sauna, the crackling of a wood stove. Hope it helps. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.